Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Startling new alliances are forming that will reshape the geopolitical landscape in the Middle East. Saudi King Abdullah recently brokered discussions between the Bush administration and the Iranian government. This was done through back channels. These discussions were going on around the time that the National Intelligence Estimate revealed that Iran stopped efforts to develop a nuclear weapon in 2003. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad proclaimed victory on the heels of the NIE report. These tensions between the United States and Iran ushered in a sigh of relief on the world scene. In fact, you may have noticed this in your neighborhood where gas prices have gone down significantly in recent weeks. Some said World War III has at least been delayed. And that is perhaps the reality of the situation in the long run. The question of World War III is not if, but when. But the war has been delayed, but war and rumors of war will continue until this present age comes to a close and Jesus Christ brings the world peace. As the United States begins to make some progress against the insurgents in Iraq, they wanted to make sure that the Iranians stopped supporting the insurgents. And at the same time, President Bush, with only 13 months left in office, was concerned about his legacy, and it is hoped that he will be able to be the principal figure in brokering a peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. The Bush administration was rather desperate to be able to report progress in the war in Iraq, and you've heard reports of progress in recent days. Apparently, the discussions with the Iranians did bear some fruit. However, world leaders are not convinced that Iran's nuclear reactors will be used strictly for peaceful purposes, especially the Israelis. Russia delivered fuel at Iran's Bashar reactor this week. Russia says she is fully committed to helping the Iranians with their nuclear power venture. Iran still insists it will use nuclear power for peaceful purposes. Then there's the question of where the spent material will be stored. The spent material that comes from the reactors is the material that can be used to develop nuclear weapons. Russia said that they would house the material initially. Now DEPCA file reports that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has offered to store the material. The Saudis' rapprochement with Iran was initially viewed favorably by the United States. But for how long will this favorable view last? Now King Abdullah and Iranian President Ahmadinejad are becoming very friendly. Abdullah and Ahmadinejad appeared together at the Gulf Cooperative Council Summit in Doha a week ago. And now Abdullah has invited Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to be the first Islamic Republic president to perform the pilgrimage to Mecca, and news sources showed pictures of Ahmadinejad making the pilgrimage. The United States may soon regret leaning on the Saudis to broker discussions between them and Iran. In the past, the United States bought Saudi oil and the Saudis bought their armaments from the U.S. and Western European nations. But in recent days, Abdullah has flaunted his new independence and gone shopping for armaments on the world market. And guess who offered the best deal? Yes, you guessed it, the Russians. Abdullah's shopping list included 150 helicopters for $2.2 billion, and several T-90 main battle tanks and medium long-range air defense systems. When Abdullah was asked why he chose to buy armaments from Russia, he said, "Compare the price list of Moscow, Washington, Paris, and London, and you will understand everything. End of quote. Debco File reports that Moscow secured the huge Saudi transaction by offering to sell the Saudis helicopters, tanks, and other hardware at a loss for the sake of a military foothold in Arabia. The Russians priced the hardware at 40-55% below the offer submitted by the United States, the United Kingdom, and France. The fact that the Saudis are becoming cozy with the Iranians and the Russians has major strategic ramifications. Now Russian-made hardware will replace its Western helicopter fleet with Russian products. Debco File states that Russian tanks will start racing across the Saudi sands with hundreds of Russian officers, technicians, and army instructors arriving in force for the first time and for long stretches of time. Russia's new role in Saudi Arabia will bring a new major military power into the heart of the Middle East, a strategic move that Russia has sought and yearned for years. For the past several decades, the Saudis' relationship with the United States centered on selling oil to the U.S. in return for military and political favors from the U.S. It's difficult to sort out the full ramifications of the realignment of alliances in the region, but they are indeed significant. And you couple this with the fact that Russia continues to supply Iran and Syria with technical know-how, nuclear fuel, and armaments, it's no wonder that the Israelis are on edge. In fact, the Israelis don't believe that Iran has stopped its quest to produce nuclear warheads capable of reaching Israel and Eastern Europe. The United States tried to counter the inroads that Russia has made in the region by hosting the Mideast Peace Conference in Annapolis, Maryland. The U.S. even invited Syria, and a Syrian representative showed up at the peace conference in Annapolis. Syria claimed it was there for the sole purpose of discussing the return of the Golan Heights to Syria. And in fact, if the Israelis conform to the conditions set forth in President Bush's conference speech, Israel must retreat to its borders before the 1967 war. And in fact, one of the things that may derail the new peace efforts will be the Israelis' resistance to giving up their homes in so-called occupied territory, which includes the West Bank. The Bush administration's attempt to renew a fruitful dialogue with the Syrians suffered a serious setback when Major General Francois Al-Hajj of Lebanon was recently assassinated. Some analysts believe the Syrians were behind the assassination. Hajj was expected to be named the new president of Lebanon. Lebanon has one of the most diverse coalition governments on the face of the earth. The president must be a Maronite Christian, the prime minister a Sunni Muslim, and the speaker of the parliament a Shiite Muslim. Damascus is an historic crossroads in the Middle East with ports on the Mediterranean Sea. Russia has long yearned for warm water ports to dock her vast navy. The Russians have deployed a vast naval presence in the Mediterranean and uses Syrian ports when needed. President Bush will make his first trip to Israel and the Palestinian territories during a January 8th through the 16th visit to that area. The White House announced that this past week. President Bush will begin his trip to Israel and the West Bank, and during that trip, according to White House spokesman Dana Perino, the trip calls for him meeting with Israeli and Palestinian leaders before heading to Kuwait, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. Perino states that the principal purpose of the trip is to follow up on the progress made at Annapolis in helping the Israelis and Palestinians advance their efforts toward peace and achievement of the president's vision of two democratic states living side by side in peace and security. Israeli and Palestinian leaders are being met with great resistance to the conditions for creating an independent Palestinian state. The majority have their sights set on retaining all of Israel, and the majority of the Palestinians still desire to see the Israelis driven into the sea and drowned. Here we begin to get to the bottom line as to why the peace process will only go as far as the people are forced to go. The deep-seated hatred that resides in the hearts of the Palestinians and the Israelis will not and cannot be healed through any political and/or military process. In virtually every treaty that has been signed between nations in recent decades, all of these treaties required the presence of so-called UN peacekeeping forces to, of all things, enforce the peace. So even if Israel retreats to its 1967 borders, and even if an independent democratic Palestinian state is created, who will enforce the peace? Doubtlessly, there will be a UN peacekeeping force commission to keep the peace. But human beings who do not possess the power to guarantee the peace will be very limited in what they can do. Human beings just don't possess that power since they are limited to physical weapons. The ultimate battle is spiritual and not physical. And the leaders of the Western world just don't seem to be able to grasp that simple fact. The ultimate battle in all of our lives is spiritual and not physical. Once again, I remind you that Satan the devil is on an insatiable quest to be worshipped. In order for him to be worshipped, there must needs be